Let's look, if you would, I'm ready to preach now, in chapter number 3 of Ecclesiastes, in verses number 1. Let me read down 1 through 3. Notice again, and I know you're familiar with this verse, but notice here, the Bible says, to everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born, and a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up. I was actually sitting in a funeral, and I'll pray in just a moment, but I was actually sitting in a funeral, and a young man that was one of the young men in our youth department when I worked with teenagers, his dad had passed away. He pastors now. His dad had passed away, and it was a difficult time, and Judy and I are very, very close to that family. And I was sitting there, and he used these passages of Scripture to preach his dad's funeral. He got down to verse 3 and caught my attention, and I don't know if it's the right thing to do or not, but I started writing an outline in his funeral, because the Lord was giving it to me. And I want to bring a message tonight. I'll say a little bit more about these verses in just a moment, but I want to bring a message tonight out of verse number 3, where the Bible said there's a time to kill and a time to heal, and this is what caught my attention, and a time to break down. A time to break down. I begin to think what God is going to have to do to the churches and to the people of God if we're ever going to be back where He wants us to be, where He gets all the glory for the work, where we see the world as He sees the world again. And I thought about that matter, a time to break down. Let me pray and I'll give you a few thoughts tonight. Our Father, we love You and we thank You. Lord, outside of the Spirit of the Lord sending unction, it'll just be another thought. It'll just be another message to our minds and hearts. Lord, I know Your word never comes back void. I know if we hide it in our heart, Lord, that's what You'd have us to do. But Lord, would You illuminate it tonight? Would You allow the Spirit of God to reveal things to our thoughts and minds, remove that cloud of unbelief, and help us tonight, Lord, to hear from heaven. We might see the necessity, Lord, of old-fashioned revival, where a community again would be shaken, where sinners would come to Christ and people would get right, not only with God, but with one another. And again, we see the great movement of God in our nation. It must start somewhere. It could start here and change a nation and a world. If a handful of apostles can turn the world upside down, what could we do, Lord, when You said, greater work shall ye do than even I? And I pray tonight, God, that we'd catch a vision, that, Lord, You take the message, the Word of God, and use it to Your glory. And we'll praise You for what You do in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to see a couple things before I actually get to the message. I was reading today on verse number 1 and thinking a little bit about it. It interests me because the thought here, as you begin to see, when Solomon, if you think about the book of Ecclesiastes, it's a special book to me in recent days because of a lot of the preachers I know that are going off the scene, up in age, and their health is failing. And a lot of the men of God that have been so close to me and been great friends and great encouragement to me are now going off the scene. And as I begin to think about this passage of Scripture, I begin to think about those words in verse number 3 and how that they said, to everything there is a season. And in the Hebrew text, the word season literally means an appointed time. That Hebrew word's only used 3 times in the Bible. One time in the book of Nehemiah and Ezra, and then in this passage of Scripture. And it's over where Nehemiah, remember when Nehemiah went to the king and he said, I can't bear under the load knowing that Jerusalem is in shambles and rubbish and the walls are down and I just can't live with myself. The burden's too great on me. I must do something for God. And he was so burdened, and he went to the king, and the king asked Nehemiah this. Undoubtedly, Nehemiah had made a great impact on the king. And the king asked him, said, well, Nehemiah, how long is the journey And how long are you going to be gone? That's what he asked him. How long will the journey be? And then how long will you be gone? And then Nehemiah said this, and so I set a time. He set a time. And this word season literally means to have an appointed time, an exact time, a beginning with an end. And to everything, there is a season that God has for us, a time to every purpose. Now, I really like the word purpose, because the word purpose is a word that if I can explain it like this, it's a word that takes on the understanding of great delight and great pleasure. It means to really, truly enjoy the business at hand. That's what it means. It means to love your job, to love getting up in the morning, to be delighted with what's going on around you. I remember right out of high school, I went to Maslin Carpets in Atmore, Alabama, where I worked, and I worked in that factory, and I pushed that same button every day. I walked that same concrete every day. I rolled that same carpet every day. That was 3 years while I went to trade school to learn heating and air conditioning. I hated that place more than any place I could ever be. I wasn't saved then. I got saved just a week or two after leaving that plant. And I can remember leaving Maslin Carpets as a 21-year-old boy, and I come walking out of there, and I was singing Johnny Paycheck. Excuse me for being a heathen. I wasn't saved. I said, take this job and shove it. I'm gone. I can't help it. And I despised. No, it was a good place to work. It really was. There were great people. The benefits were great, but I was not a factory man. Nothing wrong with that. Please understand me. Nothing wrong with that. But to me, I couldn't stand it. And when I got where I had my own service truck and I was working in the heating and air business, I loved every minute of it. I loved for things to break. I'd pray, God, break something. I loved to take people's money. Couldn't help myself. But the ideal there is great pleasure. Now think for a moment. Solomon's an old man when he pens the book of Ecclesiastes. In verse chapter 1 and chapter 2, he's dealing with some things about looking back over his life, and he's wondering, was it really all worth it? Vanity, vanity. He said, I've tried it all in chapter 2. He said, I've tried everything from building great buildings to making a lot of money to trying alcohol. Everything. That's what he said in chapter 2. He tried wine and everything else. And he comes to chapter 3 with a conclusion to everything. There's a season. There's a beginning and an end. And a time to every purpose. I want you to notice a couple things, and then I'll try to get to the message as quick as I can. I want you to notice a couple things. What caught my attention was this matter that Solomon would say in all the different things that there's a time for, there's a time to break down. Just a time to break some things down. As I thought about this passage of Scripture, I began to notice something, that there's two things to consider in these first few verses. First of all, there is an established time for all things. And in that time that God establishes or allows us, there's a purpose in that time. There is God has a purpose there. I wished I had time tonight. I do not to elaborate. I've done some extensive study on the word purpose and the word counsel and how they come together, and it'll really make a difference in your Christian life if you ever come to that realization that you're not by accident and you're not trying to you know, we go at this thing of the work of God like we're just trying to load a wagon of hay. We just got to get it done so we can go get the next load. Rather than understanding, there's such a great joy about accomplishing the purpose that God has for our lives. And as I thought about this, I looked at that, and I began to think about the time. And you know what interests me is what is, I asked myself, what is time? We know since God created man that mankind and Adam has failed to sin, man has often pondered this thing of time. You may define time as seconds, minutes, hours, days, months, years, or so forth. Some scientists describe it as the fourth dimension of our universe. The three dimensions of space being forward, backwards, left, right, up, down. And that is that. But scientists agree that time cannot exist without space, and space cannot exist without time. It's what they call a space-time continuum. Space is always has been a phenomenon of this space and time that has intrigued men. Even with today's most intellectual minds and sophisticated technology, man still searches out the theoretical possibilities of time travel. It overtakes people, this thing of time. Time has been personified in our day. People think about this and what if we could travel in time? I began to think a little bit about that. Now, if you think about it, it was H.G. Wells in the 1960s that wrote the motion picture, The Time Machine, or if you've read the book. Along would come in my young, I wasn't all that young, but my age, The Planet of the Apes. And again, I'm a heathen. I kind of like The Planet of the Apes. Can't help it. But anyway, and then in modern days, this series of movies they call Back to the Future, all dealt on this thing. What if you could travel through time? What if you could do all of this? Now, of course, these were science fiction things. Einstein's theory of special relativity established that time slows down as an object approaches the speed of light. This would lead many scientists, I mean some of the brightest men today, to believe that if we could travel faster than the speed of light, then we can travel into the future. Some believe this. Now, you say, Brother Ricky, where are you going? Well, hang on a minute. It'll be all right. Now, watch this. I'm running through my notes because of time, or else I would spend some time. And usually I wish he'd learn time. But anyway, the ability to move quickly from one place to another without affecting time would take you into this matter of going into light. Many now believe that light is a constant. Recently I was reading a couple articles and reading National Geographic's, and they're beginning to rethink about what they think about light. And again, I don't have time to talk about that. I preach a message on you're the light of the world. It's amazing if you'll study light. And many now believe that light is a constant, and if moving closer to the light slows down time, now listen to this, then entering into light stops time. I read that in National Geographic and got up for just a moment and said, glory to God. For guess who said he is the light of the world? And just move in him and time stops and you become eternal. I just said, hallelujah. I mean, praise the Lord. I've heard good preaching. I've been to a lot of meetings. I've read the Bible a lot. Never did get a message out of the National Geographic, but I worked on this one. Now, since time and space are required for existence, then a new body would have to be capable of existing in light will be necessary. It's what they said. It'd take a different type of body than what we have now to travel through light. And I thought, hallelujah again. You know, if those scientists would just read the Bible, they wouldn't waste so much time. Now, time travel is a real matter of consideration. Let's see what the Bible says a little bit. Did not Paul say, I was caught up into the third heaven? Now, if you believe like I believe where the third heaven is, that would have took a little while. There's no spaceship today or no rocket that they can shoot into the third heaven. But Paul said he visited there. John said he was caught up in the revelation and he saw the Lord. Now he said he was caught up round about a throne. So I know folks differ on where that's at. I just know this, it's a long ways out there. I mean, just believing that. Now let me give you this and I'll get to the thought for a moment. What about time travel? Do I believe that there'd be a paradox for you? I cannot travel back in the past. Well, I could if there was a time travel, but I can't go past 11:357. Because there was no Ricky beyond 11:357. And I can't go further back than my own existence. So there'd be a paradox there with these ideas that scientists are trying to do. But is time traveling? I began to think of this. We are presently traveling through time. Just as you're sitting right where you are today, time is traveling. You've just traveled from the past to the present, and you're leaving the present and going into the future every second the clock clicks. We travel into the past by way of memory, pictures, movies, books, stories. Antiques take us to a time before our own existence. Things that are around us, we see long before our own existence. And we are reminded of the past. We travel to the past by way of memory. Our Bible is a book of the past that gives us factual, truthful exactness of the future. While it lives in the present, we can travel through time in the Bible. The Bible, by the way, is the only living book. And I believe you sit and read about Abraham, and it's just like you're there. You can almost stand on the hillside and watch God bring the wrath of God down on Sodom and Gomorrah. It's a book that'll take us back to the past that established our future. It's a book of traveling. Time is traveling now. The future is constantly being transformed into the past, and the present is always lasting for a moment. Men desire, now watch this, let me give you this and I'll give you the points of the message. Men desire to back time up. Stop the present time from going forward while fearing the future instead of preparing for it. You see, the past gives us faith and the present gives us opportunity and the future gives us hope. For the believer, it's so much easier to reflect on the past, live in the present, but hard to understand the future for the fear of the unknown. And so see, we are moving through time, everyone sitting here. And it is because of that that we're moving through time, we come to the understanding that God, lest we believe like the evolutionists, which I'm sure, I hope no one here tonight does. But we know that God has created us. He Himself has created you and I. And when He created us in the creation, when I was born, I entered into this time travel. And for the time that He's given me on this earth, I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt, everything that transpires, that God... Someone said it like this, either God has led you there or allowed you to be there. For he is sovereign in the Christian's life. And can I say tonight, there is a time where God will break some things down. I believe tonight if we would realize and listen for God and realize that God has a desire to allow time, a time in our lives where some things must be broke down in order for God to send revival. I thought first of all of this. Turn to Isaiah chapter number 5, if you would. Isaiah chapter 5, and I'm almost ready to preach, so hold on. Isaiah chapter 5 and a couple verses tonight. Look, if you would, in verse number 5. The Bible says this, and now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down. And I will lay it to waste, and it shall be not pruned, nor digged, but there shall come up briars and thorns, and I will also command the clouds that they may rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant. And he looked for judgment, but behold, oppression. For righteousness, but behold, a cry. I thought as I read that passage of Scripture that there is a time that God will break down barriers. Notice the Bible said, and he'll break down the wall. See that vineyard, if you think about it, when you go to John chapter 15 and Jesus speaks about abiding in him, and how we abide in him, like the branch abides in the vine, and the vine brings forth fruit, and how we are to abide in Christ, and that vine, anyone knows that if you plant a grapevine, it has to have something to attach itself to so that it can run and so that it can grow. It will not be able to bear its fruit if it grows along the ground. For when the grapes come out, they'll get on the ground and they'll just rot away. And the grapevine represents the joy of the Spirit of God. And there comes a time that we don't understand why we're not rejoicing and why times seem to be a little difficult. And where is God? You ever been there sometimes? You wonder, where is He right now? And where is the joy of the Lord that is our strength? And why do times seem so grievous? Because I believe that God knows there's a time that certain things that His vineyard has become attached to are going to have to be removed. Can I say today to churches all around this country, is the pastor called me today. He said, Brother Ricky, do you remember Brother so-and-so? And I do remember him. Great missionary. Stood by the Bible. Stood by the old path. Stood by preaching the gospel. Stood by preaching the blood of Christ. Stood by preaching that old cross. And he stood by the old stuff. And the preacher said, he said, after 20-something years, a good, solid, Bible-believing missionary planted churches. He's in California now. He started a church. He's got rid of his Bible. He wears his shirt unbuttoned down to here. He's got a rock and roll band singing in the choir. I mean, an old-timey, fundamental-believing preacher that preached the old-fashioned way. And today, he's attached the vine of God, the vineyard of God, the fruit of God. He's attached it to a wall that God is not pleased with. I believe there's a time that God breaks down barriers and removes them from our lives. And there's a purpose for everything that God does and reason why. I'm fearful today that we don't realize we're not sensitive to God wanting to do a work in our lives. If you would, go to Ezekiel chapter 13 for just a moment. Ezekiel chapter 13. I want you to see this as I thought about. There's a time as we travel through this time, and it's not by accident that God would have us meet this week. And we must be sensitive and ask the Lord, Lord, what barriers are hindering me from being fruitful? What barriers are hindering You from using my life and using me to Your glory? And oftentimes, we've allowed things in our lives, I mean, even in the Christian realms. I mean, things associated with the church that we'll attach ourselves to. And that's not the direction God would have for us. Let me say it like this. I know a lot of good people that I love in the Lord, great, great people. But I found sometimes that they can get so attached to an issue and get so attached to a fellowship and begin to give glory to men and begin to give glory to the work rather than giving glory to Christ. And can I say there'll be a time until we ask God, God, what is it this week? What is it You'll have removed from my life? What might I be doing from hindering the growth of the vine by attaching myself to a wall that God's going to break down? There is a time that we ask God, God, will You break down some barriers in my life that might be hindering me from serving You? In Ezekiel chapter 13, notice if you would in verse number 10, because they have secured my people, saying peace, and there was no peace, and one built up a wall, and lo, others daubed it with untempered mortar. Say unto them which daub it with untempered mortar, that it shall fall. There shall be an overflowing shower, and ye, O ye great hailstones, shall fall, and a stormy wind shall rend it. In verse 14, so I, God said, will break down the wall that ye have daubed with untempered mortar, and bring it down to the ground, so that the foundation thereof shall be discovered, and it shall fall, and ye shall be consumed in the midst thereof. Last few words, that I am the Lord. Let me tell you what I began to pray as I thought about the message. And I know it's a little different message than I've preached in the past. But I began to think, Brother Todd, as I grow a little older, and as those I've loved so dearly go off the scene, I begin to think they've laid a lot of good stones for the next generation. But you know, preaching the Bible, believing it's the truth, standing on the old stuff, believing God can still send revival, staying with the right kind of music, living the way God would have us to live, is only as strong as the mortar that holds it together. You see, I still believe we ought to send missionaries. I still believe we ought to go around the world. I still believe we ought to spread the gospel to every crevice on this earth. But it's only as strong as the mortar that holds it together. If the church of God doesn't stay in prayer, if the church of God doesn't stay in revival, if we are not right with God and we're not doing what God wants us to do, and our prayer life is weak and our Bible study is weak, and that's in the churches today. Dr. Charles Keene put out an article here recently that amazed me at the number of college graduates that don't read after college. I think it was something like 48%. The average high school students are 68% after they graduate high school, they don't read anything again. They don't read a newspaper, a book, or anything. Now, if they're not reading secular things, you know they're not reading their Bible. And I'm fearful today. The Lord said, I will break down. Now, this makes me fearful. That's what happened to England. That's what happened to the great revival in Germany. That's what happened. Do you realize that one of the greatest revivals that ever took place in Europe took place in the early parts of the night, around 1918 and 1920, and great revival, and the message came back to the United States, please send preachers. There's revival taking place. Move while the Word of God is fresh and hot, and come to this nation, lest Satan break it down. And 2 years later, two or three years later, my chronology of time is off, but a few years later, a man by the name of Stalin would come on the scene. And that country that so many preachers of their day said, if you'll just come, that's ripe and white unto harvest in Russia. But again, we let it slip by us, for the mortar was untempered. And I believe that this mortar represents the faithfulness of God's people, the realness, if I could put it that way. The statistics are amazing at people that do not read their Bible, Christian people, and don't have a prayer life. And God said there's barriers. And you know, I believe good, sincere people don't get up and pray because they don't have time. Don't read their Bible because they're busy with other things. And we don't stay at just not that we don't have a good foundation, Brother Todd. But the mortar, we're only as strong as what holds the building together. I thought about how that God will break down. There'll be a time He will break it down if the mortar's weak. It will collapse. Then if we'll not turn there, but I'll read it to you. Jeremiah 45:4, God said, that which He has built, He will break down. I put barriers, but God here is speaking of great buildings and great temples. And He's talking about sanctuaries and programs and things that men have built. And God came to this place where He said, I will not share My glory with any other. And it comes to a place, if we're not careful, that men have erected monuments unto themselves, and the church of God is more concerned about facilities and about programs than they are giving God the glory for all that's done. That's what it's all about, is that He gets the glory. And God will break down our building programs. And God will break down our issue-minded things. And now, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not talking about compromising. I'm not talking about getting away from an old path. I'm talking about God. Jesus desires that we give Him old-fashioned worship and glory unto our Savior. And this charismatic crowd have tried to pump it up long enough. And I don't mean to call anybody's name, but somebody ought to call it. Yeah. And again, we ought to give Him the glory for all things. There is a time and a purpose for all things. And, well, I'll just jump in there. And if you get mad and tell me don't come back, well, then I get a few days off. Can I say it like this? Honestly, I've been so burdened in that I preach a few meetings, not a lot, but a few meetings. And I'm more concerned that we just meet. Oh, do we really want God to send revival? Do we really want God to save sinners? What if it cost something? What if it cost like those martyrs that were burned at the stake as God broke down some barriers and some buildings so that He might get the glory and sinners might come to Christ? I'm concerned that we don't just have more preaching, but that we have more revival, that God might do some things. I put that God is going to break down barriers and God's going to break down some of our buildings. That's what Solomon said. Solomon said, I built great buildings and temples unto God, and it's vanity. That's what he said. Some of those great buildings and great cities that he would build, he'd build to the glory of God. And he said, as I look back, it's all been vanity. And I believe it might have been because there was more emphasis put on the place than on the person they're worshiping. We have to be very careful there. And then I put this, of course, God's going to break down some beliefs, some old traditions. God's going to remove some pride. God's going to get us back where He wants us to be, I believe, if we really want revival. I'd love to see revival catch on. How many, over 300, you said, involved in the school or something like that? And could you imagine if God would send revival? Could you imagine if the young people of this school were so moved by God that He would extend our stay here, and we would see America again be the nation it should be, and God do great things, and God raise up missionaries, and God raise up evangelists, and God raise up preachers, and God raise up a group of people again who are not looking for what money they might can make and what career might be so important to them, but that God might call some folk to do His work again and change our world. Boy, if it only bring revival, but you know, He'll have to break some things down. Some barriers are going to have to be moved. I noticed that the Bible speaks about God may have to break down some bank accounts. The more prosperous Israel became, the more they'd get away from God. Proverbs would say riches are not forever. Job would say it like this, will he esteem riches? No, not gold, nor all the forces of strength. No man outside of Christ has gone through more breaking down than Job did. No one faced what Job did. Proverbs would say, riches profits not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivereth from death. See, God's going to do some breaking down. And then I thought of this tonight. Job would say that God had broken his body. He had been broken. As I began to think about that, this is what I thought about revival tonight. Just a simple thought. We're traveling through time. Before we know it, we'll be going off the scene. What will we leave behind us? Will we leave revival? Will we change a community? Will we reach a world? It's taking a breaking. For here's what the Bible said. God is nigh unto them with a broken and contrite spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit, is what Jesus would say. He'd open up his sermon with that. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the broken, crushed in spirit. You see, what God wants is somebody broken. He wants, if revival's to come, there must be a time that God is allowed to break some things down. Now notice how I started in verse number 1. This is what amazed me about Solomon. As Solomon was dealing with his life, he was looking back over his life, and I believe he was very concerned about what the future held for the next generation. He was bothered by what he put priority on and what maybe he should have at the close of his life. And as you think about that with Solomon, and he would say that there's a time and a purpose and a season. And to think the word purpose meant that during this time, it can be a joyful time. I can enjoy it and love it and believe that it's the absolute perfect will of God for my life. To think that God would break some things down. If you went with me to Cleveland, Tennessee, you meet Brother Chris Hooker. And Brother Chris is our secretary treasurer. Chris will come into the office. He cannot move. He can move one hand a little bit, and from here up is all that he has. He's paralyzed. Chris was a Marine, fought in the Gulf War in 1991. His dad was our president of our ministry for quite some time. I remember 2 months before Chris would have the accident that would paralyze him, he and I were sitting in a meeting, and we were on the platform together, Brother Todd, and Chris sat there and I sat there, and he said, Brother Ricky, he sat in my office, and he was over in the close to Jacksonville, Baldwin, Florida area. He had a trailer, and he had made him a little office, and behind his house was that tall sagebrush type stuff, and Chris had went out there and cut out a little spot and laid some stone out there, and he said, Brother Ricky, I built me a rock altar. And he said, I go out there every morning for a couple hours, and I just kneel, and I ask God to use me. And he made this statement to me, and he quoted the scripture, and he said, Brother Ricky, my desire is whatever it takes to use me for His glory, I've asked Him to do that. I won't ever forget. I said, Brother Chris, are you sure? Whatever it takes. He said, whatever it takes. Within a month or two, a fire burned. Everything around the area of the trailer and all burned. And he went out there in the only place in the entire plot of land that fire jumped over was his altar. About a 10-foot circle there that the fire never went any further. And in a matter of days, Chris would be in the accident that would paralyze him for life. And God has used him in an amazing way, and the Lord has gotten glory in all things. I've often said, Lord, why Chris? He's such a healthy man. He was such a good servant, brilliant, loved you, great witness and testimony for Christ, great man of prayer. And the Lord said, but you don't understand. He's having great pleasure in this purpose that I have for his life. Chris told me last week when he came in, he was tired. His wife, Juanita, has to bathe him, take care of him. She's his hands on the computer while he does everything. He said, Juanita's really tired, Brother Ricky. She's tired. We prayed a little bit together. He says, you know, I have no regrets that Christ could get the glory. I thought about revival this week. I really just wanted to bring this thought tonight. Will we ask the Lord to break down some things that might hinder God from doing a work? What might we have attached ourselves to that God needs to break a wall down tonight? And if that wall's not removed, then sinners will not come forward. What might we be elevating more than Him? Sometimes even our own works, our own accomplishments for Him, we elevate beyond Him. Is there something tonight that might in us, and I search my own soul, that might hinder God from sending revival to us this week? I wanted to bring that thought tonight. Wouldn't it be wonderful to know that this week that His purpose for us was to break down some things that might hinder others from coming to Christ? Let us pray together this week. Would you stand? Our Father, I thank You, Lord Jesus, for the privilege of tonight. I realize, Lord, that the message was somewhat different. But I believe, Lord, that we must first come to that place where revival is lifting You up and acknowledging You. And You said, if I be lifted up, I draw all men unto Me. I'm afraid, Lord, that we lost our focus, that we are to see above all things that folks could come to Calvary's cross. And I pray tonight, God, that we'd everyone here tonight would search our own heart. We'd ask You, Lord, what is there that might be hindering us from doing the purpose that You have for our lives. Lord, I pray tonight, God, that each and every one would search their hearts. We'd prepare ourselves for a great week. And God, that You do things beyond our imagination. Maybe there's a loved one that needs salvation, or someone that's gotten away from You that needs to get right with God, and they've not been in church in a while. And Lord, we'd remove the barriers or the hindrances that might be stopping an individual from coming. You never know, Lord, what goes on in a home and what husband or wife maybe this week need to just quietly get alone and get things right. And Lord, I pray tonight that, God, You'd first of all look down on us and show mercy, realizing we're yet clay, but God, that You would do a work. Oh, that revival would break out in this city, that this place would be shaken and the county would know and the state would know that God has met with His people. Lord, in troubling times that we live, we sure do need a lighthouse. And I pray, God, You'll do what only You can do. I'd ask with your heads are bowed for just a moment tonight. I just want to know how to pray. And you'll say, Brother Ricky, do pray for me. I'm here tonight. I know it realizes mainly the church, but I'm not asking for even a decision. I'm just asking that I might pray. That someone here would say, Preacher, I've been struggling with my salvation, and I wish You'd pray for me this week. During this week, the Lord might help me. And you'll say, Preacher, I don't know if I'd go to heaven if I died. Just pray for me. If you're like that, would you just raise your hand? I'd just like to ask you tonight. Preacher, just pray for me. Maybe there's someone here. I don't want you to raise your hand, but I want you to think about it tonight. Are we really willing to ask God to do whatever it takes to make a difference in our lives, to send revival our way? I don't believe God chooses everyone to be like Brother Chris, but He gave Chris a wonderful touch of grace. I understand grief and pain, but will we ask God this week, Lord, whatever it takes? Remember what the Lord told Ananias? I want you to take Paul and take him to your house, for I'm going to tell Paul how he'll suffer for My name's sake. And God would break Paul down that Christ might get all glory. Our Father, again, we ask, Lord, that You'd bless and use this week that we might bring glory to You. In Jesus' name, amen.